Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Some of you say that was a Christmas song. It's Easter time. But do you realize the reason we have Christmas is because of Easter? That's the reason Christ came, was for Easter, to die for our sin. Hey, we want to welcome all of you here to Casper Faith today. We are so glad that you've joined us for part two of our Jesus, the Ultimate Blockbuster series. And if you'd open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7 and then John chapter 3. Matthew 7 and John 3. And we are basing over this Easter season the themes of our messages over some new release Hollywood movies. And our theme this morning is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, many of you are probably familiar with the events that have taken place just a few weeks ago in Oso, Washington, where there was a tremendous mudslide that just came down. It went over a highway, and it wiped out a community. It took 30 people's lives, and 17 are still missing as of the latest report. I don't know how many of you have heard about that tragedy. What took place is there was a lot of rain. The hillside was it was water soaked, and the ground just gave way. But what many people don't realize is that 15 years ago, a study was done in this area stating that there was a possibility of a large catastrophic area, because the area had several slides, and above the slide, you can kind of take a look on the screen. You see there's up on the hillside, there's kind of some white area, that is the ground, and there was still a lot of land above the slide area. Tracy, a gentleman whose name was Tracy Drury of the Army Corps of Engineers, stated in a later study that catastrophic failure potential places human lives and property at risk. And these warnings were ignored, even though there was a slide in 2006. They kept building new homes in this area. Some of the people heard about the warnings, and they thought, you know, the messenger's unreliable, or the old classic statement, it'll never happen to me. How many of you ever thought that before? Never happened to me. But there were some people that were completely unaware that the ground was unstable. And when this mudslide came through, 1 square mile of mud just came sweeping through, destroying houses, property, and taking the lives of several people. How would you feel if you bought a home, but no one told you and they knew there was a risk that it could kill you? How would you feel about that? I'd be upset. They're placing everything that you have, that you hold near and dear, at risk in your life. You would want someone to warn you. And this morning, as we take a look at our text in Matthew chapter 7, that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is talking about there is some unstable ground that you can build your life on. There is some unstable ground, and he wants people to be aware because he does not want them to end up in a life of destruction. As we read our text this morning in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, I want to direct your attention to the screen. We're going to read it, but we've illustrated this scripture. Let's watch the screen together.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall.
Two identical houses, two identical storms. The same wind, the same flood, the same waves. One house stood, the other house fell. Jesus was saying, you are building your life on something. Each and every one of us are building our lives on something. And the question is, what is your foundation? What are you building your life on? Jesus wanted to teach this one lesson. It's in your notes. If you have your notes, take them out today. Here's the lesson. The Son is the one to build your life on. The Son, Jesus Christ, is the one to build your life on. If you are basing your life on any other foundation, you will experience destruction. Now, some of us are driven by money. Should I switch mics, go to a handheld? All right. Some of us are driven by money. If you're driven by money, then your decisions will be based upon what benefits your finances. Now, if you give, you might give because, hey, this is going to make me look good in front of the community, so I'll give here. But if it's not going to benefit me, I'm not going to give. Some of us, if we base our lives on money, it's all about how much stuff can I get? And finances drive our life. For some of us, our lives are driven by acceptance. We want to fit in with who we're around. And so when we come to church, you know what we do? We sing the church songs. We might even raise our hands. We might speak the church talk. But when we go to work, when we go to school, we want to be accepted by the people. And so we now fit in with the crowd we're around. We're like a chameleon. We're changing our behavior so that we're accepted by them. We might laugh at their jokes. We might even engage in some off-color jokes. We might talk about things that we would not talk about in front of the church crowd. And that's because our lives are being driven by acceptance. Sometimes we're driven by success or accomplishment. I've known people that they work long hours to get that promotion, to gain their boss's favor. They want to achieve something, accomplish something, have a certain title behind the end of their name, and they will sacrifice their family, they will sacrifice their health, they'll sacrifice everything, sometimes even their integrity, their ethics, just to get ahead in life. Some of us are driven by romance. Oh, he makes me feel so good. He tells me I'm so wonderful. I just love him so much. Some of us will do anything, whatever it takes, to have someone by our side. Maybe we'll buy expensive presents. We will take the blame all the time. You're right. It's my fault. You are so right. I'm to blame. Sometimes we'll let them treat us like dirt, physically, verbally, emotionally abuse us. Sometimes we give in sexually because we just want someone to love us. I ask you this morning, what's driving your life? Because what's driving your life will also drive your decisions. What do you base your decisions on in life? What do you base your values, your choices? Whatever is driving your life will determine what you do. The Son of God is the only reliable one to drive our lives. Jesus needs to be the foundation. He needs to be the rock. And the thing is, it's not just people who are outside of God, but it's people who are Christians. I have seen Christ followers let money drive their lives. When times get tough, it's like, you know what? I can't tithe. No way. I can't do that. Money's driving their life. I've seen people, when you get a lot on our plate, and I've done this before too, I've got so much to do, so little time to do it, I don't have time to pray, to take time for God. Anyone ever done that before? When I'm doing that, I'm saying, my agenda is driving my life and not God. There's times I've known students and adults who were afraid to surrender their futures, because God might call me to go to Africa. Or God might call me, God forbid, to be a pastor. Now, I don't want that. I remember when I was in college, I did an internship, And when I went there, there was a youth musical going on, and one of the songs in this musical the youth group was doing was this high school senior. He was singing, "Please don't send me to Africa. Lord, I ain't got what it takes. I'm just a man. I'm not a Tarzan. Don't like lions, gorillas, or snakes. I'll serve you here in suburbia with my humble middle class life. But please don't send me out into the bush where the natives get restless at night." And I've known some adults and young people that say, "That's not for me. I don't want to trust God." And they build their life on what they think is best because they're afraid, if I really do what God wants me to do, he's going to shortchange me. Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 7 that the Son is the one to build your life on. And that's why it's important for you and I to read our Bibles. We need to read our Bibles because how do you know what the Son says to do if you don't know? If you haven't read it, if you're not studying it for yourself, how do you know what to build your life on? Now, Jesus said, "These sayings of mine." So does that mean only the letters in red? No. It means the whole Bible, all the principles. Why? Because John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." The principles the Lord gives us in Scripture, we can build our lives on. What are you building your life on this morning? Are you building it on the solid rock, or are you building it on sand? Anything besides Christ is sand. Now, some of you might say, "Craig, how come I can build my life on Christ? Is he dependable? Is he really faithful?" There's two reasons, and we're going to look in John chapter 3. This passage of Scripture is going to give two titles to Jesus, and these two titles are the very reason that you and I can build our lives on him. All right? John chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 14. It says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Underline that phrase, "the Son of Man." Now, when you're reading this, you're saying, what is he talking about? It was Moses lifted up the serpent. He lifted up a snake? Well, actually, it was a brass serpent, a serpent of bronze. What had taken place is the people of God were sick and tired. The children of Israel, they were tired of following God and Moses. And they said, "We don't want to follow you anymore. We don't care what you're saying. We want to go back to Egypt. We don't want to go into the promised land." And when that took place, God sent these poisonous snakes, and they attacked millions of Israelites who were rejecting the leadership of God in their life. And the Lord said, "This is what you need to do. You need to make a serpent, a snake of brass, put it on a stick, and then lift it up. And whoever would look at the serpent, whoever acknowledges that they have done wrong, they rejected God's leadership in life, I will heal them. But the people that won't look on the serpent, they will die." That's what this is talking about here. And Jesus is saying these words himself, and he says, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, and if people look to me, acknowledging they have rejected God's leadership and that they have sinned, they will be healed." Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever believes in him, in the Son of Man, should not perish but have everlasting life." And now, probably the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Verse 18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Underline the title "Son of God" there. The two titles God gives, the first one we want to look at is right there in verse 18, "The Son of God." Jesus is the Son of God. And what that teaches us, what that tells us, is that he is all-powerful. As the Son of God, Jesus is all-powerful. He was not just a man. He was not just a human being. If you took a roving microphone out into the street today and you asked people, "Who do you say Jesus is the Son of God?" and then you stuck it in their face, you'd get a lot of different answers. Some people would say, "Well, Jesus was a good man. He was a nice man." Some would say he was a great teacher or a prophet.
Some of them might say, well, you know, he spoke for God, and all those things would be true, but the key is that Jesus was God's son. He was God in the flesh. When Mary became pregnant and she was carrying Jesus, when Joseph, her fiancé, found out about it, he was ready to break off the betrothal, break off the engagement. He was ready to put it away and be done with it. But an angel appeared to Joseph and said to him, he says, hey, Mary's been faithful to you. She hasn't went and stepped out on you. And there was a prophecy, he said, and we see this in Matthew 1:23. He says, there's a prophecy Isaiah gave, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That word Emmanuel actually means God with us. When Jesus came to earth, God came to earth. Jesus walked the planet. God was walking the planet. God was talking. God was touching people, healing people, caring for people, ministering to people. Jesus is God in human form, and he's with us, not just today, but the Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. While he's not walking on this planet, Jesus is still with us. He lives with us. We're told in Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. If God is with us and nothing is impossible with God, what does that mean? Nothing is impossible for you and me. Are you facing some impossible circumstances in your life today? Are you facing some situations where you think, man, there's no hope. There's no way out. I can't do anything about it. Hey, you know what? You can't. But if you have God, if you come to God, God can, because nothing is impossible with God. Our problem is sometimes we take matters into our own hands. But if you're trusting in God, if you're building your life on the Son, all things are possible. Don't shortcut God in your life. Jesus came as a baby. Oh, holy night. He grew up. He walked this earth. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He delivered people from addictions. He set them free. And he died. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That's what Easter is about. Jesus is alive. We serve a resurrected Savior. He's not buried in the ground. You can't go to Jerusalem and find a tombstone that says Jesus Christ, because the tomb is empty, and because it's empty and he conquered death and sin and hell and the grave, he can do anything. What do you need God to do in your life this morning? There might be some of you here today and you'd say, Craig, I am such a horrible person. I have messed up so bad. I have sinned against God. I have done some things I'm so embarrassed, so ashamed of. No way could he ever forgive me. Friends, there is no sin that you have committed that God cannot forgive. All things are possible through him. Some of you might be here today and you need healing. It might be a big toe, or maybe it's cancer. Or maybe it's some other terminal disease that wants to take your life. Friends, nothing is impossible with God. Some of you here, you're addicted to different things. You're addicted to media, to pornography, to alcohol. You're addicted to maybe just abusive relationships. God can set you free today. He can deliver you from the addiction. Some of you, you're carrying around so much pain, so much abuse, so much hurt from the past. Some of you may be holding grudges. God can break that unforgiveness. He can set you free. He can cleanse you. He can make you whole. God can take all of the pain, all of the waste, all of the hurt that you've been experiencing for years, for decades, and he can wipe it out and make you whole today. All things are possible with God. if you'll just say, Lord, I'm going to build my life on you. I'm going to depend on you for everything. In a few minutes, we're going to close our service. We're going to have people come down for prayer. And if you need a miracle in your life of any kind, I want you to come. Because we serve the Son of God who is all-powerful and he can do anything in your life. If you need a miracle, how many need a miracle today? Some of you do. I want you to come forward for prayer. How many have a small thing in your life? God cares about your big toe, not just Winifred's. All things are possible with the Son of God. Build your life on him. That's the first reason we need to build our life, because he's all powerful. But there's a second reason, and it's found in John 3:14. Jesus says that he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man. And because he's the Son of Man, he understands us. He can empathize with us. He knows what we're going through. It says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Not only was Jesus the Son of God, but he was the Son of Man. He was human. You see, Jesus just didn't sit in an ivory tower up in heaven and say, oh, those poor guys down there, I sure hope they get some help. When I was growing up, my mom made me clean my room. How many of you, your mother's made you clean your room? Many of you, yes, okay, I'm in good company. I had hardwood floors in my room, all right? And I cleaned my room one day, and my mom came up to inspect it. How many had mother inspection? Oh, yeah. And she looked underneath my bed, hardwood floors, okay? And there was a ton of dust under there. And she said, someone's either coming or going. How many of you ever heard that phrase before? Someone's either coming or going. Some of you are saying, what does he mean? It means there's so much dust and dirt there, and we came from dirt, we came from dust, that someone is coming or someone's going. Ah, the light bulb finally went on for some of you. We get that from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Someone's coming or going. And here's the thing. What happens when you and I get dust or dirt on our clothes or on our body? We wash it off. We don't keep it on there unless, you know, you're a three-year-old who's been playing out in the mud and you like that kind of thing. But, you know, we wash it off. We get rid of it. And what did Jesus do? Jesus put on dirt to become a man. Jesus put on what we consider filth so that he could understand us, so that he could know what we're going through. The very thing that we say, this is filth, this is dirt, this is dust, I don't want it. Jesus says, I'm willing to put that on for you because I want to know. I want you to know that I know. That I have walked in your shoes. I've experienced what you've experienced. I've felt what you've felt. I have lost what you've lost. You know, you and I, we could study about earthworms, and we could learn that earthworms don't have eyes, that they have cells on their skin of their body, and it detects light, and that's how they kind of see. We would learn that earthworms do not have lungs, but they just kind of breathe through their skin. But if you really want to know what it's like to be an earthworm, you and I would have to become an earthworm. How many of you would like to crawl around in the dirt, lower yourself to an earthworm and become an earthworm? Aren't they beautiful? Don't you like putting worms on your fishing hook? How many fishermen do we have here? Several of you. Don't you just love worms? Don't you love to eat worms? No, not eat worms. Lunch is coming. I don't want to spoil that. Friends, if you think it would be a lot for us to give up our eyes and our mouth and our lungs and our ears, our ability to speak and become a worm, that does not even begin to compare to what Jesus Christ, God, gave to become a man. Now, we're made in the image of God, but Jesus put on dust. He lowered himself so much. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave. when he became like one of us. Christ was humble, he obeyed God, and even died on a cross. Friends, Jesus emptied himself of his divine prerogatives. He said, I am not going to be all-powerful anymore in my own. I am going to have to rely on the Spirit of God to flow through me to work out God's all-powerfulness in my life. He said, I am giving up my ability to know everything. He knows everything. He gave it up, and now he had to rely on the Holy Spirit to learn everything he learned about God, about man, about pain, about suffering. Jesus gave up his omnipresence, his ability to be everywhere at one time, to be stuck in a human body at one place. And he gave up the perfection of heaven where there was no sin, no pain, no loss. And he endured all of that for us. Friends, Jesus chose not to pick up his godly power when he was tempted, but he fought sin with the Holy Spirit inside of him and overcame it, just the way he's given us the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. Jesus went through every temptation that you and I go through. You can build your life on him because he was here and he has experienced loss. You talk about loss. He was tortured. His friends left him. His disciples, they walked out on him. They didn't care. He was all alone, and even God the Father forsook him. Jesus hung on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Jesus knows the deepest pain, the deepest hurt, the deepest loss you have experienced because he has experienced it himself. You can build your life on Jesus because as the Son of Man, he understands you. He has walked in your shoes. But he is also all-powerful, and he can set you free. What's your next step this morning? I want you to look in your notes today, and there is a bottom section, a little box, and it says next step section. What's God saying to you today? There's some of you here today. The first box says, I need to receive Christ as my forgiver and leader. And there's some of you here today, your life up to this point has been driven by something other than Christ. It's been driven by money, by acceptance, by pleasure, by accomplishment, whatever it might be. But you have rejected God's leadership, just as the children of Israel rejected God's leadership. They said, we don't want to do what God tells us to do. We want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. And there's some of you here today, you'd say, I realize that I have done that I have sinned against God and I'm separated from him, and I need to check that box. Now, there's some of you here, you are walking in that, but you'd say, you know what, I'm not ready to do that, and you know what, that's fine, because it needs to be an honest decision of your heart. You don't do it because someone else says it. You need to do it when you're ready. But there's some of you, God is speaking to you today, and you'd say, I need to check that box. Everyone, I want you to take a pen out from in front of you because I want you to do something with this message, okay? Just don't hear the word and walk out and don't let it change your life. What is God saying to you today? If you need to check that box, check that off right now. I need to receive Christ as my Savior and leader, my forgiver and leader. Check that box. But there are some of us today, you are following Christ, but as we've been talking, God has pinpointed something in your life saying, you know what? You're not building your life on me in this area in your time. Because whenever you get pressed for time, man, you just kick out prayer and Bible study and you're in charge. You're not building your life on me. Or some of you, it might be the area of finances. Maybe it's your thought life. Some of you are struggling with lust. Maybe some of you are struggling with fear. You let fear or worry get in your life. Some of you, you need to surrender your thought life to God. Some of you, it's your emotions. You live by emotion. And instead of living and making God's word as your foundation, some of you are trying to find your acceptance and your worth from what you do or from other people. And Jesus says, you're my beloved child. I gave my life. I became dirt. I lowered myself so that you could have God's love, so that you could know me, so that I could be your friend, be the God with you and walk with you and guide you and care for you and love you and help you. I want you to fill in that blank today, what you need to begin to build your life on in your own life. And maybe God has spoken something else. There's another box there. Fill that in if that applies to you. In just a moment, we're going to sing a final song. And our prayer team is going to come down as we sing. And if you need prayer this morning, if you need a miracle, we talked about that a little bit ago. If you need a miracle of any kind, physical healing, deliverance from an addiction, if you need, maybe you're just lonely. Maybe you're fighting something. You haven't told anyone else there's a secret thing in your life. Whatever it is, we're going to believe God to answer prayer. Maybe it's your big toe. I want you to come forward for prayer because there is nothing that's too small for God. And for some of you, you just check that box. I want you to tell, you says, I'm receiving Christ as my forgiver or leader. I want you to tell someone today. If someone invited you, I want you to tell them. Or you tell me, or better yet, when we sing this song, come down and tell someone who's down here and say, I'm just accepting Christ. Pray for me, because we have some materials we want to give you to help you grow in this new relationship with Jesus. The Son is the one to build your life on. He cares, He's understand, and He is all-powerful. He is able to handle whatever you're going through. Let's pray.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us CasperFaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.